Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. Yeah.
I can't believe that they survived a Scott Foster ref game when they were up 2-0 in the series. And you have a Joel Embiid who, in terms of profile, is the bigger the biggest superstar in this matchup. Still, doesn't matter. That's how bad the Sixers are.
He got a lot of foul calls, though.
The Tice stuff, I know the war on Tice.
The Tice one was awful. That was the one they reviewed was – the fact that they still call that a foul is ridiculous.
The one around Embiid's hip?
No, the one that they Brad reviewed on Tice, Embiid in the post. He like hooked him with his elbow.
That was the one where Tice's arm was around Embiid's hip, but it was the second to last foul, fifth foul.
Yeah, but that was not a foul.
It was not a defense foul. But I will say there are a few times where Scal is quick to say, oh, that's not a foul. That's not a foul. And then when you go back and watch it and you see them kind of reach in over the top a little bit. And Tice does that. There are at least twice. It's at least like twice a game with him where he gets a foul on that. He gets upset. But it's like,
that's
do it every time.
That's what's pissed me off about Tatum. He's done. I mean, now, granted, if it was like LeBron, I don't think LeBron could commit a felon and you can commit a felony and literally not be called for a foul. But like Tatum's gonna be smarter. Like he all those three fouls were legit fouls he had in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
First quarter, was it the first quarter? I don't even remember what
first quarter. He didn't play at all in the second quarter, which is another thing.
But like all those were legit fouls. Now should they have been called? Any other probably big NBA superstar doesn't get a foul call there. They I don't know. They would just turn away. But anyways, he's just got to be smarter. This is the second game in a row, and he does it all. I feel like he's done this a lot. It's kind of his MO. He picks up these silly ass fouls when he doesn't need to, and it ended up screwing him over in the long run because he obviously took a while to get into a rhythm. Or he never really even got into a rhythm.
9 of 16, he didn't get a rhythm from deep. 2 of 9 from three, finished with 15 points. He had 4 blocks, 6 boards. But you know what, Matt? The thing is that when we look at all three of these games, if there's one theme, at least from the negative side with the Celtics, is that they have started off slow each game, or at least the Sixers have started off stronger, I guess. They always fizzle out, but they don't have that energy. And I just get worried when we look at the Raptors series because I think it's inevitable at this point. Both teams are up 3-0. The Sixers have nothing to play for at this point because they have no pride. And the Nets are working their ass off,
really,
but they don't have Joe Harris, so I don't think they have much of a chance to win a game. I mean, they got blown out of the building again in game 3. I hope you didn't go and bet on that one because I told you that one was going to be.
I bet I took the Raptors.
Okay, cool. Smart man. But when I look at the Celtics, if they go and start off slow or struggle to find their rhythm or make a lot of mistakes against the Raptors to start off games, that's going to be a very quick second round exit for them because the Raptors play, for the most part, mistake-free basketball, and they have that pest Kyle Lowry where if you make the slightest mistake, I saw Justin Anderson set a screen on him today, clean as a whistle screen, and somehow Lowry acted his way into an offensive foul. And so they got to make sure they can't do that stuff early on consistently like they have been.
Yeah, No, I would agree with that. And Tatum's gonna stop floating, doing those stupid floaters. I'm gonna throw something at my TV, dude. Does that not bother you? Like, it really irks me because
I don't get
first
it.
Off, bro, you're whoever is telling you to do that, whoever your trainer is and tells you to work on your float, dude. You're 6'8". You're not Kemba. Kemba has to float it. You're 6'8", mm-hmm. dude. Just go dunk it on someone or lay it up. You don't need to float it. What are those floaters? Yeah. They're pissing me off.
When he was struggling to finish at the rim early in the season, I could tolerate the floaters a little bit because he just seemed so tentative every time he went to the rack. But now I thought you were past it. I mean, we've seen plenty of games where he looks fine going to the rim. He's drawing contact. He's still finishing. Yeah, doesn't matter. I don't know where this is coming from at all. I'd rather see him pull up. I mean, you and I don't care about the mid-range stuff. I'd rather see him pull up.
I'd rather just see him just go to the rim and try to get fouled. Like, the floaters thing just drives me bananas.
No,
at least Jaylen Brown goes and racks it. Like, he just goes up and either hammers it or, like, mm-hmm. he's going to the rim.
Right.
But,
and he didn't have his best shooting night either, but he still finished with, 21 points, second on the team. Kemba was the only one that beat him out. Most importantly, with Jaylen Brown, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. He's getting 9 trips. Marcus Smart was the closest to him after he had 6 trips. Other than that, no one had more than 2. And I think we talked about it either late in seeding play or right before the playoffs started, how Brad Stevens said at the beginning of the year, Jaylen Brown was the best returning guy in terms of getting to the free throw line. And now I think you can trust him pretty much fully to, if he's going to get there, he's going to finish as well. Sorry, I got the ESPN stats pulled up, but I think you can trust that he's going to finish, or he's going to be trustworthy late in games, or even if he's struggling with his shooting. So, I mean, that's a huge, his growth for this team has been huge in so many different ways, whether it's helping Tatum in kind of alleviating some of the pressure off him or just in general. He's a guy you can trust in more ways than one on the offensive end.
Yeah, I think after watching this game too, what worries me about the next series is like lack of scoring. I mean, I know Toronto's playing Brooklyn today, but Toronto's just got so many guys that can score.
Right.
And it's
we just don't have that.
We just don't. Even if Gordon Hayward's here, I think obviously Gordon Hayward would help, but like it's even more than that. They got guys that come off the bench and fill it up. Like, I don't feel like we have any of that.
No, not at all. Marcus Smart is the closest. Marcus Smart and Enes Kanter are the closest things to that. And if Enes Kanter gets 10 points, that's a productive day for him. And Marcus Smart, the way he's been shooting lately, good
it
God.
It doesn't matter. I mean, yeah. Well, that's not.
He was 4 of 8 today. I'll give him that. But that's
it. But, and he made unbelievable defensive plays. Like, he's just.
Right. But what you're talking awesome. About, you don't have yeah, you just you need that. Offensive guys. It's just not like yes, he does that, but we still need offensive guys. So just to look at what the Raptors did today, Siakam finished in double figures, Lowry did, Van Vliet did, Ibaka had 20 off the bench, and
we trade Wan. I'd love to Norman trade Wan. I would love to trade Wanamaker for Van Vliet. I love Van Vliet.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. He had 22 today, 5 and 5.
He's a beast. I love
him. How about Serge, though, dude? 20 and 13.
Yeah, he was hitting, like, bombs, too.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough one, though, when they
– I'm telling you, it's a tough matchup. I just – especially with Gordon Hayward hurt, too. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't help, but I just watched them, and I'm like – I mean, obviously, we played them in the seeding games and we handled them, but they also had been like 5-0 or 6-0. They would do for like a dud and they did, but damn, man, they shoot the crap out of the ball and they just got guys that can fill it up. So that's what makes me nervous.
The thing though with them, or at least with the Celtics, is they can shoot the shit out of the ball too. They can hang right with them when Tatum, Brown and Kemba are all on fire, but or all clicking. The problem is you need that pretty much every single night, and then maybe someone else is going to step up as well. And
I agree with you. I don't think Tatum and Brown. And I mean, I think they've been pretty solid. Like Kemba today was awesome. Closed out the game with the shot. Like that's what he does. So it's really not those three. I mean, that's only our consistent scoring. You just need, like in game two, guys stepped up, and unfortunately, we're going to need that going forward, like every game. We can't, like, the bench really didn't have that impact today scoring like it did in game two, but and that's why we barely won. But that's what we're gonna need going forward. Semi Ojeleye played tonight. I think his body was on the court, but
he was on the floor at one point. Yes, that is correct.
What in the hell did he do in those minutes? I don't think he got. What is the stat? Can you pull up those stats? Did he get one stat?
Well, I was actually looking at Tice's numbers because he's not doing much offensively either. And I understand that you're not expecting him to go out and score 15 a game, but he's not shooting well from three either. But I'll look at Shemmy's real quick. 12 minutes, 0 of 1. He took a 3-pointer and he did not log any other stats other than a foul.
I knew it. I mean, come on, dude. 12 minutes, you can't even get a defensive rebound. You can't get an assist. Like, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, Kanter was on the floor for 14 minutes. He had 6 boards. He had and he had 6 points. 3 of 6 from the floor.
Who was that? You say Kanter?
That's Kanter, yeah.
Grant Williams played decent minutes.
Grant Williams has stepped up big time shooting three. I saw, I think it was Jay King said Grant Williams still has not missed a 3-pointer in the playoffs, which is true in his few games. He was 1 of 1 today. Confidence. 7 points off the bench. I mean, that's the most production you're getting right now. It's him, Kanter, Wanamaker had 5, and then Romeo Langford had 2 in 11 minutes. So Grant Williams is your guy right now. But for Daniel Tice, I mean, he had 8 points, 0 for 3 from 3, though. That's the one that's the killer. That's where you need him to drop one, at least one a game, because otherwise the Raptors, they are going to have no reason to respect him at the end of it all. And last game, he went 0 for 2, and then game 1, he was 1 for 5 from 3.
I mean, he just – there's something up because he's not even – he usually looks confident when he's shooting it. He just catches it and shoots it. And I feel like he's, like, thinking about it too much now. I don't know what his deal is, but
he's off big time, and it's a problem. And I don't know what it is, but that's something that needs to be fixed. And I think his defense has been not as good as he typically is. There's some decisions that he's making that he doesn't normally make, and that where he's reaching over the top and leaning forward. And even Scal saying it takes Scal seeing it like 2-3 times. Oh my God, Matt. Okay, you know the foul. I think it ended up being called a foul, right? When Josh Richardson went up and it was Daniel Tice tried to block him, and then he ended up hitting him. Did you see that play? I think it was Nally.
Yes. Oh, I did see that. Yeah,
so
that
was I seeing things, or did that hit the glass before Daniel Tice blocked it?
I thought it hit the glass. I mean,
thank you, because Scal's over there saying it's a clean block and everything, and I was like, wait a second. Am I losing my shit right now?
Because I thought it was goaltending. Yeah, I didn't think it was a foul. I didn't understand the and one thing.
That's fine. That's fine. But
it was 1,000% goaltending. I didn't understand even when they were explaining why it was an and one. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about.
That's a whole other thing. That I'm not arguing
with
him necessarily.
Once it was the goaltending was called. That's it. The play's dead.
Right. The goal. Yeah. Agreed. Absolutely.
The foul has to happen first before the goaltending. I would say. Mm-hmm.
That one was not called by Scott Foster, oddly enough.
Shocking, because he makes all the calls down the stretch.
In fairness, where I'm critical of Tice for reaching over the top, the last time he was called for the foul, it was Scott Foster who called it from the friggin' 3-point line.
Oh, yeah. Okay, dude, at the end of the game, he makes all the calls. He makes all the big – I mean, he's literally out of the 3-point line at half court making calls, because that's what
I don't know how you can live with yourself like that.
Bro,
you're the guy. Like you're that guy, and everybody knows it. If everybody bet on the Sixers tonight,
that's the only quality I like about James Harden, because he hates Scott Foster as much as I do. So,
I would say that makes you guys kindred spirits. But that's just me.
Hey, it's why we're sort of friends, right there.
Oh, look at that. You two are tight now. Who knew?
I've read that he's just not a likable ref. Like, I guess he's an asshole, like, and players don't like talking to him because he just doesn't listen. Like, he just, like, he makes all the calls and that's it. I mean, I get the NBA guys. That's what's funny. I read someone else on Twitter that tweeted this, and it's funny because they do it now all the time. Like, the first quarter, the ref makes like a bad call, and the guy's going like this, like, to review it to their coach or whatever. It's like every call is wrong.
Yeah.
So I mean, I get it. It's a lose-lose job in the NBA.
Being right, the ref, of course.
But Scott Foss is the worst.
Yeah, he's the worst. Now, one other quick aside. I saw Kai Carlin tweet this out. Now we're both watching the NBC Sports Boston broadcast. I don't know if this is from the TNT broadcast or if this is from, I guess it would be, I think it's NBC Sports Philadelphia that carries the Sixers games. But Kai tweeted this out. I think our crowd has helped us. This is a quote from Brett Brown.
Yeah, I think
our crowd has helped us.
And the virtual crowd. And I think Brett Brown will be back in Maine on Monday morning.
Is he from Maine?
Yeah, he's a Maine guy.
Okay, he's a Maine guy. Okay, I knew he was a New England guy. All right. Yeah, I mean, he's done, man. I mean, I'm watching Al Horford screaming at him at points in the game. I never saw him do that with Brad Stevens, not once. He doesn't have these guys at all. He's lost the room.
But like you said, though, which is sad, is, you know, these guys are professional basketball players. They got no pride.
None. None whatsoever. I mean, Tobias Harris.
You texted me and said it perfectly. You said Tatum didn't play this whole second quarter and they're still losing.
Oh my God. We totally glossed over all that too. I mean,
it's embarrassing.
There are concerns going into the Raptors series. The first quarter has been the biggest concern, I think, throughout all three of these games against the Sixers. But when it comes down to it, the 76ers could not take the lead going into halftime against the Celtics when they didn't, even though you don't have Ben Simmons, the Celtics didn't have Jason Tatum, who has been the best player in this series, and then Gordon Hayward, who, no matter what anybody says, is an important player to have out there. You didn't have either one of those guys, and you still couldn't take advantage of it. The Sixers suck, is what it comes down to.
They had every chance to win today's game. I mean, the refs kept them in it. The Celtics also didn't play well. And they still couldn't win the game. I mean, this was their game to win. I mean, get the brooms out.
Yep, get the brooms out. It's all done. I think Ty was the one. I had the predictions here. Original predictions.
What did I say?
You had six. I had five. Ty had five. And I think Ty was prepared to. No, Ty kept it at five after Hayward went out. Yeah. But I think we're all going to end up being wrong.
Wow. It's just like if we were in normal times and, you know, Boston, the Celtics were in Philly, you could see them win a game four. They're in front of their fans. You have
Scott Foster, whatever.
It doesn't even the rest. Like you probably play with more pride because you're in front of your, like, Philly fans are brutal. We talked about that with Kai, like they're booing, whatever. But now you're in the bubble. You'd want to go home, see if it's 3-0. You want to be out. You
know, I mean, they freaking shot. I just saw someone tweet this out. 29.5% from the floor. The Sixers did. You're a legitimate NBA team. How the hell does that happen?
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I saw a thing on Twitter. It was like, who would you build your team around, Simmons or Embiid? And I literally commented and said, can there be a neither option?
Dude, 29.5% from the floor, 23.1% from three. I mean, I understand slumps, but at some point there's an effort thing in there.
Oh, no. 1,000%. You saw how they started the game.
Al Horford, 1-for-5 from the floor, a whopping 6 points. He at least got 10 rebounds and a pair of blocks. But Tobias Harris, 6 of 19, 0-for-5 from three.
It's just an embarrassing effort. That's what it is.
Tough day for Philly fans. I can't say I feel bad for them, though.
And yeah, best thing you got to do now is, obviously Toronto's going to close out. So you want to close out so you can, because I guess I don't know how they're going to get some rest, right? They get ample rest just like a normal.
Yeah, I would think they're both going to have to get rest because I don't think you can start that next series until the Bucks and the Heat Pacers are done.
I thought they waited till everybody's out of the first round.
It's at least got to be the Eastern Conference. You can't start ahead of those guys. But yeah, maybe. I mean, with what we saw the other night with the Lakers game, I got to imagine that one's going to end up going five. And now if Lillard's fingers hurt.
Well, yeah, if he's really messed
up. Dude, you saw this. I forget going into what quarter. I think it was going into maybe halftime. But ever since the first quarter of game one all the way into, I think, the second quarter of game two, every quarter the Blazers scored fewer and fewer points. I mean, the magic
might have ran out. Who knows? But
yeah, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. But I think you talk enough shit. Just enough shit, LeBron will like wake up once in a while, and then Anthony Davis for that matter too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the Lakers just responding. I guess it, to me, like personally, like the series that is like, you know, mind boggling to me is the Denver Jazz one. Like, dude, the Jazz 30 pieced them twice, like in a row. Like, cause you know, like I said, the Lakers came back, they responded from, you know, getting shellacked, and obviously the Blazers didn't play well, but if you get shellacked two games in a row, that's a little different, right? You know, so
right.
It'd be interesting, you know, going forward. I mean, the Mavs Clippers game that's on right now, you know, that's another decent series. So I don't know. I mean, yeah. I just want like one series. I agree with you. It's like the Magic Bucks. I think that series is going five, even though the Magic somehow won game one. I just want like, you know, competitive series. We started getting them, but then after a while, like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of
blowouts. Still tough in that first round, man. It's still tough. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I mean, you would have thought this would have been a competitive one. And but the Nuggets Jazz one though, you're right.
Dude, Rudy Gobert was like Shaq today.
Oh my God, what the hell was going on with him tonight? But even Donovan Mitchell too, we've questioned him a lot throughout the year ever since Team USA and everything, where he was kind of a bit of a disappointment. And obviously all the Mike Conley stuff, I know that the situation's a little bit different with him right now, obviously having a kid and everything, and not being available. But I'm well, he was tonight, right? He was for the last
game,
right?
he played
27 today. 27 in that game. So but there, by and large, it's I'm stunned. We discount them going into this, and I like seeing some life out of them. They have a roster that I like. Yeah, so it's good to see it come together.
I agree.
Without Bogdanovich too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it sets up for the Eastern Conference. You know, you're assuming obviously Boston, Toronto, and then Milwaukee Heat. That'd be a good series, man. I think the Heat are really good.
Yeah, that one. I could see them both going seven, but I think the Heat are going to be really tough for the Bucks. That one's going to be a rough one. I think everybody's been saying that for a while.
Yeah.
Jimmy's not going to just take it laying down. There's no way.
No.
All right. So game four, maybe we're talking about a Celtics sweep on Sunday. That's at 1:00.
Hopefully.
So we'll be live right after that. Anything else before we get rolling?
They need to get the brooms out. We can't do a gentleman's sweep. Can't do
there
it.
You go. Sounds like a plan to me. We will talk to you all then.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.